SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Thursday, the 6th of February 2025. The Australian share market rose today, just missing another record high. The S&P ASX 200 up 1.2%. I'll have the details with Chris Weston from Pepperstone in a few moments. But first, fresh data from the US Commerce Department showed imports into the US rose sharply in December to a record high after the US presidential election. Remember, Donald Trump touted imposing tariffs as a pre-election promise. So it means for the year, imports rose 6.6% into the US to $4.1 trillion. Exports also hit a record. But the gap between the two shows a $1.2 trillion deficit, the largest ever. US President Donald Trump wants to see that gap narrowed. So what does it mean for tariffs and for Australia? For that and more, I spoke with Shane Oliver, Chief Economist at AMP. Shane, so US imports reached a record of $4.1 trillion in 2024. Why?
Basically, imports surged into the US because the US economy was very strong. We saw very strong growth in the US, particularly driven by consumer spending, but also investment. That sucked in imports into the US economy to record levels. Big question is, where do those imports come from? Big chunk comes from four countries or regions. European Union is about 18%, followed by Mexico, and there's been strong growth in imports into the US from Mexico, followed by China. China's actually been in decline. It's gone from around 21% or so of US imports to now being about 13.5%. That's as a result of the first trade war between the US and China. And, of course, at the low end of the list is Canada. And Canada is around 12 or 13% of total imports into the US. Interestingly, of those Canadian imports into the US, about a third of it or so is energy-related, which partly explains why Donald Trump only slapped a 10% tariff on the energy component, because he didn't want to increase US energy prices, but he put 25% on the rest of the imports from, or he's threatening to anyway, from Canada.
That's interesting that you've mentioned those countries and regions, because they're the ones that are having tariffs being applied or threatened to be applied, right? But what kinds of things are being imported to the US?
Look, it's a mix of things. There are some raw materials in there, but a lot of the stuff going into the US is manufactured goods, transport parts. For example, we produce parts of Boeing planes in Australia, which find their way into Boeing planes back in the US. But a big chunk of it is consumer goods, manufactured goods, low-cost goods in particular. You know, a lot of iPhones are made, for example, in China. But also capital goods, you know, parts that feed into machinery and into the production process in the US. Now, of course, there is a big chunk of energy. About one third of the imports from Canada are oil and energy related, which is why Donald Trump has only threatened a 10% tariff on those imports from Canada and 25% on the rest.
At the same time, US exports to the world also hit a record, but it is importing more than it exports. So that difference, the deficit, $1.2 trillion. What does that say about its economy?
The US trade deficit has been around for a long, long time. It goes back to the 1980s, in fact, when Ronald Reagan was around. It reflects the fact that America basically spends more than it earns. And consequently, it has to suck in goods from the rest of the world to make up for that lack of income, basically. So it's basically, some would see it as a sign of strength. It's a sign that the US economy is very dynamic, constantly growing, constantly sucking in imports. But, of course, Donald Trump sees it as a sign of weakness. But basically, at the end of the day, it reflects the fact that Americans, on average, as a country, spend more than they earn. And they're saving on an annual basis. They're actually running down their savings.
You just alluded to it as well. So if it's seen as a sign of strength, yet Donald Trump has long criticised the trade deficit as a sign of weakness, could he potentially use that to justify his planned tariffs? And I guess just to reiterate, is he wrong then to say that the US economy is weak?
I think Donald Trump is totally wrong. The US economy is very strong. That's why it has a trade deficit. It's sucking in all these imports. And the rest of the world is not as strong, so US exports to the rest of the world aren't quite as strong. So I think Donald Trump's got it round the wrong way. From an economic point of view, a trade deficit, or more broadly, a current account deficit or balance of payments deficit, reflects the fact that a country is spending more than it earns. It's not saving enough. And in the US, that's a sign of strength. Yes, you can justify tariffs if other countries are behaving unfairly, and the World Trade Organization does allow for that to some degree. But the basic problem in the US is that it just spends too much. It's constantly growing, very dynamic, and that its economy just sucks in a lot of imports.
And finally, can we talk about Australia? What does it say about Australia's trade with the US? And also considering that some numbers came out of Australia today too, what's the relationship like?
Well, the good news is that Australia has a trade surplus in aggregate, at least in relation to goods. But the trade surplus in the month of December did fall slightly from $6.8 billion in November to $5.1 billion in December. But it's in the range it's been in for quite some time now. So that's good news. But with America, we actually have a trade deficit. About 5% of our exports go to the US, but 12% of our imports come from the US. So we do export things like aircraft parts, some pharmaceutical products, some aluminium, metals, and some raw materials. I think some gold even goes to the US. But the reality is that we actually import far more from the US than we export. We actually have a trade deficit with the US. They have a trade surplus with us. So by rights, we shouldn't be the target of Donald Trump's complaints. There's no evidence that we are in any way ripping the US off. We're not running a trade surplus with the US, we're running a trade deficit. And of course, Malcolm Turnbull, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, used this argument to avoid Trump's tariffs back in 2018. Whether that argument will wash this time around remains to be seen, but by the same token, it is a fairly strong argument. I think it would be totally ridiculous for America to impose tariffs on Australia, because quite simply, we could impose tariffs on them and that would actually cause more damage to them than it would to us.
Shane Oliver there from AMP. A good day for the Australian share market, up 1.23% on the S&P ASX 200, just shy of a record at 8,520. For more on the day's market moves, I spoke with Chris Weston from Pepperstone. Chris, so the ASX 200 at a near record high once again. What's driving it?
Well, I think we're in a bit of a Goldilocks scenario here, Ricardo. I know we've still got a few grey clouds hanging over because of the Trump tariffs, and there's still a bit of uncertainty as to how this plays out with China and perhaps the EU can come in. But I think the market's trying is really hard to move on from that scenario. We've got earnings about to kick off and people are expecting about 6% earnings growth coming through. We feel that the earnings have troughed and due to rebound. We're seeing lower volatility coming in markets. You know, we've got a pretty much an uncertainty that we're going to get a rate cut coming through in the 18th of February meeting, and then the RBA price to cut full rate cuts this year. But at the same time, we've still got pretty solid growth. Household spending's increasing, credit growth's on the rise. So we've got good growth, rate cuts coming through. It's a really a very positive scenario as these tariff risks come out. So yeah, the market's about 50 points away from the all-time highs at the moment, so momentum seems to be building back up to re-establish a move back there. And you know, 80% of stocks on the day are higher, so it's a broad-based high participation, high volume move today. So when you look at the risks to the index, to the ASX 200, it feels like we're going higher from this point and some of these risks recede.
Yeah, so that momentum, do you think it can continue? And is the big wild card, is it those potential tariffs?
Well, I think Trump, well, this has been a risk in the system. We've known about these risks, this tariff risks, for a long time. It was part of his campaign. It was a question of what that looked like, how aggressive they would come in and how they'd be implemented, and to, you know, how quickly they would get up to this sort of terminal tariff rates that he campaigned on. Everything we've seen so far suggests that he is taking a much more measured, much more targeted approach to using tariffs, which is a much more friendly outcome. I know we've seen Canada and Mexico have their tariffs put on hold for 30 days, and that may come to re-establish. But I think, you know, they're making the noises that they want to work together. And I think, you know, with China, whilst we have seen, you know, targeted tariffs being put up by 10% and, you know, a rebuttal, yeah, it does feel that these are much more measured than what we were anticipating. And I think from that perspective, this has become quite a market-friendly backdrop. And that's why we're seeing this equity appreciation. We're not out of the woods yet. And I think that obviously is something that we are concerned about. There is still a lot of noise and headline risks still about that could cause some big moves. But from what we've seen so far, people are really trying hard to move away from this and do what we do best, which is, you know, trade on, you know, relative growth rates and, you know, look at, you know, company earnings and those factors and not necessarily as tariff. But I think so far what we've seen is that they've been a lot more measured and a lot less onerous than what was being sort of expected from the market last year.
How is this, though, being played out in the currency market? Because isn't one of the things that these tariffs, if they do go ahead, and depending on how strong they are, could add to US inflation and thus slow the pace of rate cuts in the US?
Well, I think there's a lot of misinformation around this whole situation. The market's really toy. You know, look, of course, if you are going to put tariffs up in very simplistic terms, you're going to raise the price level, but it's not going to be sustained inflation that obviously is what concerns the bond market and the US dollar and leads to central banks having to review whether they want to cut rates and maybe even hike rates further down the line. It's a one-off price shock that's going to come through. And the Fed, like we saw in 2018, should look through those sort of situations. At the same time, then you've also got, yeah, yeah, depending on the size of the tariffs and depending on what happens in terms of company margins, these can, in theory, lower growth at the margin as well. And I think that's the situation. But I think at the moment, the market is saying that what we're seeing, and it could get worse, and those tariffs could start going up in the future to see what happens. But yeah, I think people are saying at the moment that Trump is showing a much more conciliatory sort of approach to working with other nations, even though, you know, he's playing quite hardball, at least appearing to. I think it sort of makes him out to be, you know, the worst case situation has been averted for now.
Okay. What about gold? It's continuing to trade at or near record highs. How much has that got to do with all the situation at the moment with uncertainties and tariffs?
Well, I think it's probably a great reason. I mean, I think if you look at the physical gold market, there's been so much focus on just how tight things are at the moment. A lot of people have been concerned about, you know, tariffs impacting how you know, how yeah, people are trading gold, but also using gold as a hedge against the uncertainty, not just the potential tariff rate on gold imports and various factors as well. I think, you know, we've seen lease rates spike up. Yeah, the cost to lend out gold short term. You know, you've seen that in COMEX banks. The physical gold market is about as tight as we've seen for some years, and that's spilling over into the spot market. So I think you're clearly tariffs, either because gold is going to be tariffed itself, or the uncertainty and the use of a gold as a hedge in that portfolio against uncertainty has seen a very, very tight market. And that's why we're, you know, pushing up we got just shy of 3,000 last night. So I think it's a bit overcooked at the moment, Ricardo. I feel like it's probably, you know, I wouldn't be certain buying as a trade right now. I'd be waiting for a bit of heat to come out of the market, but it's here for a reason. And that is that the market really, really likes the story. And it's probably, you know, apart from the German DAX, it's you know, arguably the best performing asset class of the year. So, you know, it's here for a reason. The market likes the story. And I think pullback should be fairly shallow at the moment. I think 2015 is clearly shaping up for the year of the precious metals at the moment.
And finally, given the changing political landscape, you've got these geopolitical issues, you've got a new US administration. Have you had to change the way you're investing more recently because of these changes?
Well, I think, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've got to be more dynamic to headline risk. But I think at the situation for me as a trader and investor is to think with an open mind, you know, like we've seen with the tariff situation when the market wants to move on and start thinking about the new thematic. And, you know, thematics are changing every week. Last week it was DeepSeek. This, yeah, beginning of the week before it was DeepSeek. Beginning of this week was tariff risk. Yeah, we don't want to know what it's going to be the next week. But, yeah, some of these themes, some of these concerns are all changing very, very quickly. And, yeah, when the market wants to move on and focus on other fundamentals, then it does so. And the price will tell you when that's happening. So I think having an open mind to all these different permutations and letting the market tell you how they're feeling and how the collective wisdom in the market is speaking out is clearly true. But right now, I think obviously it's been a crazy 2025. We were completely expecting it under Trump presidency. But I think for now, you know, we still, the way that we disseminate news, decipher news, interpret noise from signal, you know, it's a headline driven market, and that's not for everyone, but for people who can respect that and work well in that environment, then, you know, there's some good opportunities here.
Chris Weston there from Pepperstone, head of research. Don't forget, if you do enjoy the podcast, to give it a rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.